right. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you. We're grateful for you. And God, I pray right now for each person that's here today, those that are in the room, those watching online, whatever that looks like. God, we ask that you would just continue to do what you already started today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be able to hear your word, to have fun doing it. And then God, as we turn around and walk out of these doors in a moment, that we walk out better than we walked in because you spoke to us. Thank you in advance for what it is that you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You guys can have a seat. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome. Welcome to freedom. Welcome to the 10. Welcome to the back end of spring break. And welcome, some of you, welcome back. You went to the beach or wherever it is you went, and I did not. And I was not jealous of you. I did not live vicariously through any of you. And it is what it is. I'm not sad. I'm not jealous. I need to start preaching or I'm going to start getting sad again. It's sad when you're watching everybody else at the beach, you know what I mean? And you're just chilling, doing nothing. But not doing nothing because you're still working. That's the funny thing. Like you're still working, still doing all your normal life stuff. And everybody else is like, here's me in my bathing suit drinking me a drink with the umbrella in it. It is what it is. But nonetheless, glad you had a good time. Hope that you did. And if you're still at the beach and you're watching this online, hurry back. Hurry back. I want to celebrate something real quick before we get started. But even, I say before we get started, but it's kind of part of the message. One of the things that was incredible last weekend, it was the beginning of spring break, but it was also Easter weekend. And at Easter weekend, we have 5 worship experiences, Saturday night, all day Sunday, just like we always do. And just to give you a little bit of perspective, that's an interesting mix, trying to figure out how do we plan it? How do we do it? How do we arrange it so that we don't have like one light crowd, one crazy crowd, people on the Cobb Parkway crowd, people sitting in the parking lot crowd. But last week you guys did phenomenal. We crammed 3,500 plus people, into this building, which is insane. And then even more than that, I was super excited about. The split was really good. There was only one worship experience where people were sitting out there in folding chairs out there in the lobby, and which is cool. It looks cool for pictures. I just wish it wasn't always the case because I know if you're showing up for Easter, you don't really want to sit in the lobby. But honestly, you could have got here a little bit earlier maybe. But you did a great job, though, creating an even split. It was fantastic. And the greatest thing about it was we did see 108 people say yes to Jesus, which is incredible. So great job to you for inviting your friends, and thank you to the Lord for doing what it is that he always seems to do. A pastor friend of mine, he says it this way. He says, it's like being a kite caught in a hurricane of grace. And that's kind of what it is that it felt like. God was doing cool things last weekend. He's been doing great things. And even now, we are a couple months away from being able to actually enter the new building that we are building right now. Just a couple of months. That's all it's going to be. And it's going to really help us to be able to reach a lot more people, more lives being changed, all of those different things. But I do feel like compelled to tell you something that's on my heart about this thing, because I am a sports guy to the core. And so as a result, I want to tell you what it is that I'm seeing about this building that has some direct correlations with the sports analogy that I'll probably use, even though it's not in my notes. We'll see if I get to it. But I'll say this, building that is going to be one of two things. It's either going to be an incredible blessing, or it is going to be a potential pitfall. And let me tell you the reason that I said that, because there's like this tension to manage. The tension to manage is we have seen lives change. Like we are seeing God move. We are seeing relationships restored. We're seeing addictions broken. We're seeing lives put back together. We're just seeing all kinds of cool things happen. And then also at the same exact time, there's still more relationships that are falling apart. There's still challenges that need to be dealt with. There's addictions that people are still in the midst of. There's painful pasts that people seem to not be able to get through or to get past. There's this internal emptiness that so many people, I'm not just talking about people in here, I'm just talking about people in our community, in our city. There's this internal emptiness that so many people in our community seem to have. And how do you balance that? Like, how do you balance this? We're getting ready to see the hand of God. We already are seeing the hand of God, but we're getting ready to see it in an even greater way. We've seen lives changed. We've seen people far from God experience life in Christ. And it's amazing. But at the same time, we still have so much more to do. How do you balance that? I think it's one of two things that you have to do in equal measures. Number one, it is an extreme level of gratitude for what it is that God has done. And at the exact same time, there needs to be an incredible level of expectancy about what it is that God is getting ready to do. There's a verse in the Bible, and I don't usually use this translation whenever I'm preaching, but I loved it in this context. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6, Israel had seen the hand and the favor of God, and it was an incredible moment. And here's what it says: "And now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives so that those who planted their crops in despair will shout yes at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing." In other words, God, keep changing lives. Keep setting people free. We've seen you do it before. I've seen you do it before. But now I want to continue seeing you do it again. Not only with people that are in this room, but with people who have never stepped foot in this room, who may never step foot into this room, but will be stepping foot into that room in just a couple of months. God, do your thing in a way that only you can, so that you get the glory, so that lives will be changed, so that addictions will be broken, so relationships will be restored, so that people far from God can experience life in Christ, so that people can go on this journey with Jesus that is significantly better than anything they could ever ask, think, or imagine. It's like, we want people to be able to experience that. I don't know how you are. Y'all are kind of quiet today at 10 o'clock. Maybe it's the spring break hangover or something. But I'll say, I want to see God continue to move. There was a verse that I told you about whenever we were kind of announcing this building and getting ready for what was getting ready to happen. And I said, this is kind of the verse in my mind that I really believe that God gave me for this new season and honestly for this new building. It says this in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. "The glory of this present house," talking about the one we're going into, "will be greater than the glory of the former house," the one that we're currently in, "says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." Now, all that is introduction to get to this. Everything that I've just said has been true, but I want to be extremely clear. I am pumped about the building. I am pumped about what I know it is that God is getting ready to do. I am excited. I am ecstatic. I am ready. I am ready for a lot of things. I'm ready for the life change. I'm ready to not preach four times every Sunday. Like, I am ready to have a voice on Monday and Tuesday. That's going to be incredible. That's something I haven't experienced in years. It's going to be great to be able to actually use words on Monday. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about everything that God is getting ready to do. But what I need you to know is that this building is not the fulfillment of what God has called us to do. It's not the destination. Matter of fact, I'm probably gonna walk up on stage that first Sunday, first things that come out of my mouth outside of just welcome, I'm glad you're here, is welcome to our brand new temporary facility. Because I want people to understand this is not the end. This is why I said this building could be either an incredible blessing or it could be a potential pitfall. And then I mentioned that I'm a sports guy to the core. So let me talk to you about something that I think is gonna resonate with a lot of people, especially the sports people who are in this room. And we have a unique number of those here in the life of Freedom Church, I think probably because we talk about it so much. I gave you an illustration the other day about basketball. And I told you that I was cheering for the Duke Blue Devils to win the national championship and that they needed to do so because by far they were the most talented team in the field this year. And honestly, listen, I know some of you, because you don't like Duke, you say no. There's no arguing that they were the most talented team in the field last year and this year. It's uncanny that we did not win a national championship. We were up by 19 this year, up by like 15 or 17 last year. I can't remember which one it was. And we get to about 10 minutes left in the game. And I don't know if you were watching the game, you should have. But what happened, well, actually you shouldn't have because it was horrible. But after about that 10 minute mark, we had them down on the ground and we could have stepped on their throat and made them die. But instead what we did was we took our foot off of their throat. We took our foot off off of the gas, we went into cruise control and started playing not to lose instead of continuing to play to win, and it cost us the entire game, which ultimately it cost us the entire season. This happens all the time. My son plays high school baseball for North Paulding. They have this ranking that comes out. Baseball's weird. There's like 77 different rankings, and it's the most bizarre scenario I've ever seen. One of them, one of the primary ones, had us at number 7, not in the state, number 7 in the country. I posted online, this is great, but it's a trap. You know what happened the very next game? We lost the very next game. You know why? Because it was great and it was fun, but it is a trap. The reason is because when you start believing the headlines and you start thinking that you have arrived and you stop doing the things that got you to where it is that you need to be and where it is that you currently are, that thing, that blessing, that thing that you're taking for granted will eventually leave your life if you're not careful. I heard a thing, and I'm kind of ADD in right now, but it was hilarious, so I got to tell you about it. There was a video. I saw it on Instagram. I think I reposted it on stories, and it was a baseball coach, and he's talking to, like, his 7 or 8-year-old baseball team. It was hilarious, and he's standing there, and he's, like, bent over, and he's talking to them, and they're all sitting in a little circle, and he's talking to them about how it's about how winning is important, right? And I know some of you, you're not this way, and you have the Lord Jesus step into your heart and you'll figure life out. But you'll say to your kids, you're like, it's not about whether you win or lose. It's just whether you have fun and how you play the game. Winning or losing, that doesn't really matter. If winning or losing didn't matter, you shouldn't keep score. And that's why there are some, like, Christian sports leagues that don't keep score, because they're trying to raise weird kids, okay? Now, let me tell you why this matters. Let me tell you why this matters. This coach was sitting there. He's talking to his team, and he goes, and guys, I want you to know, if you go home and your dads tell you that it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, I'm sorry to tell you this, your dad's a loser. That's what it is that he said. It was hilarious, because the thing that made it so funny was they were like seven years old. But there's some truth to this, and let me tell you why. When it comes to the kingdom of God, while we are still on this earth, we only have one life in which to win these victories. We only have one opportunity to really make a difference. We only have one opportunity in order to win people to the cause of Christ, so that people far from God can experience life in Christ, say yes to Jesus, and have their entire eternity changed forever. We can only do that while we are here. And what happens to a lot of churches is when they move into what they consider to be their dream building, they think that they have arrived, and they take their foot off the gas and they lose the mentality that got them to where they are in the first place. And that's not going to be who we are. That's not going to be how we respond. That's not going to be what it is that we do. We're different than that. The reason that I say we're different than that is because we have not arrived. We really are just getting started. We are just getting started with what it is that God desires to do in our own lives, but also in our community. I don't care, by the way, when I say in our own lives, I don't care if you're 70 years old. If you are 70 years old and you are a follower of Jesus and you erroneously think that your best days are behind you, you need to understand that if God was finished with you, you would no longer be here. The fact that you are still breathing means that God is still working in your life. Your best can be ahead of you in Christ, so keep going. Don't stop. We are just getting started. Now, I pray this. I pray this all the time. This is gonna be a difficult message to preach 4 times today. I can already feel my voice struggling a little bit, but I'll say this. I pray this corporately for our church, but also individually for each of you and those you love. You say, why does this matter so much to you? Why are we talking about this scenario? And why are you saying it could be a blessing or a pitfall? Let me tell you why it matters so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. I'm gonna read you that one and then a series of those that follow it as well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means if you are a follower of Jesus, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. In other words, you need to understand, if you don't already, that when it comes to Christianity, Jesus did not come to this earth so that the bad could become good. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't show up on this planet so that bad people could become good people. Jesus showed up on this planet so that dead people could become living people. Every person who is born spiritually dead, separated from God, and Jesus was on a rescue mission so that you could be redeemed, adopted into his family, made a son or a daughter of the king. He didn't come so that all things could be made perfect. He came so that all things could become new, right? So that's what Jesus came to do. That's what Christianity is really all about. Verse 18. All of this, you say, all of what? Salvation, repentance, being able to turn to God, being adopted into God's family, being made a child of the king, like all of that is vital, it's important, it's incredible, it's great, and it's good. It says in verse 18, all of this is from God. In other words, it didn't happen because you're good. It happened because God's good. Anything good that comes from me came from God. Anything good that comes from you, that came from God. Because you're somebody needs to tell you this maybe, you're not that good. God is on your behalf. And so when he changed my life as a teenager, then he did not make me perfect. He made me new. I'm not who I want to be, but I'm certainly not who I used to be. And as a result, Jesus is still working on my life. He's not finished with me yet. But what I have to remember is that all of this, everything good that God has ever given me, it comes from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, that's through Jesus, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. In other words, Jesus came to this earth. God sent Jesus to this earth in order to pursue you. Like God was coming after you. The reason Jesus came is because he loved you. The reason Jesus showed up on this earth is because he was coming after you. And the misunderstanding that people have is a lot of people are like, yeah, Jesus was after me. He was coming to pay me back. Jesus didn't come to this earth to pay you back. Jesus came to this earth in order to bring you back. That's what it is that Jesus came to do. You say, how do I know this? Not counting people's sins against them. In other words, if you're a follower of Jesus, your sins are no longer counted against you because they were actually counted against Jesus. So when Jesus died on the cross, I'll give you a brief theology lesson. When Jesus died on the cross, your sin placed on Jesus. The moment you say yes to Jesus, his righteousness placed on you. This theologically is called the great exchange. You give Jesus your sin, he gives you his righteousness. That means now when God sees you, he doesn't see you according to the day you've had, the week you've had, the month you've had, the year you've had, the decade you've had, or even the life you've had. If you're a follower of Jesus, when God sees you, he sees you according to the life that Jesus lived. That was a life of perfection. So when God sees me, even on my worst, dumbest day, he looks at me and says, that's my boy. When he sees you on your dumbest, worst day, that's my girl. Why? Because when you're a follower of Jesus, God's righteousness gets appropriated and counted towards you. Say, well, I don't deserve it. That's exactly the point. You didn't deserve it, and Jesus still did it. That's why I said at the beginning, and that's why it was written in these verses, that all of this comes from God. So if that's what he came to do, you're like, well, I'm already a follower of Jesus. So now what? Now what is it that I'm supposed to do? How is it that I'm supposed to feel? How is it that I'm supposed to think? What's supposed to happen next? I'm glad you asked. He says this, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore, as a result, because he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, we are now therefore Christ, that's Jesus, we are Jesus's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, we beg you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what Jesus says is our mission. He says, every single person, if you're already a follower of Jesus, those of you that are, been a follower of Jesus since I was 16 years old, as a result, ever since the day I said yes to Jesus, which was actually yesterday, a whole lot of years ago, April the 11th of 1996, whenever that happened, now Jesus has given me the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he didn't just save me for me, he saved me for me, but now he has a mission for me, which is to help other people be able to experience what it is that I've already experienced myself. So he's given me the message of reconciliation. So he says, as a result of that, therefore, we are his ambassadors. That means everywhere it is you go, everywhere it is I go, every field you walk on, every court you play on, every school, every class that you attend, every workplace where you engage, you are an ambassador for God while you're there, for better or for worse. Every one of us. The city that we live in right now, or the city that we all drove to, for those of us that are actually in the building, because some of you live far away. You drive a long ways in order to be here. Whatever city it is you live in, listen, God had that city on his mind when he saved you. God had your school on his mind when he saved you. God had Acworth and the surrounding communities on his mind 18 years ago when God called us to move from Tennessee to Georgia in order to start this place called Freedom Church. Why? Because he didn't just save us for us, but because he wanted to do something through us. He has given us the message of reconciliation so that people who are far from God can experience life in Christ. That's not some mantra that a church has. That is a calling that God has placed upon us and placed within us. He says, this is your calling, this is your responsibility, this is your opportunity to be able to do whatever it takes so that people far from God can experience life in Christ. That's why he says, so every person that's a follower of his, our message should be to our friends, to our family members, to our coworkers, to our students, to our teachers, to our parents, to our children, whoever it may be. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So, well, that's, I mean, some of you, I can look around and start naming, like some of you are teachers, some of you are administrators, some of you are plumbers, some of you are stay-at-home moms, some of you are businessmen, businesswomen. I mean, all the different, I can look around the room, I'm getting sidetracked just looking around the room and like naming jobs of people that I know. That's your job, but your calling is even higher. You leverage your job for your calling, which is to reconcile people to God so that they can have a relationship with him through this person by the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we care so much? Because, verse 21, God made him who had no sin, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, for me, so that I could become the righteousness of God. Same thing for you. You could insert your name right there into the verse. This is the message of what we call the gospel. Gospel just means the good news. This is the message of that. Followers of Jesus, you are not who you were. You are who God says that you now are. I want people when they see me, I want them to be like, I knew that guy. God had to do that. I want people when they see you to be like, I knew her, or I knew that guy. I knew them in high school. God had to do, I mean, God did, I don't know what he did, but he did something in that person's life. God had to do that. That's why it says, all of this is from God. I want to be an ambassador, but I want to be an ambassador the right way. I want people, whether I'm at a field or if I'm on a stage or if I'm at the store or if I'm on vacation or wherever it is that I am, I want people to see me and be like, that one's not perfect, but God did something in his life. That's what I want for you. I want everywhere you go is for people to look at you and be like, man, God did that. Why? So that you'll get praise and glory? No, so that God will get praise and glory. Like, man, I used to know so-and-so. You remember who they used to be? You remember what they used to do? Man, I don't know the whole story, and I missed out on a decade, but something happened in that 10 years. You know what happened? Jesus is what happened. That's what I want people to see. We are ambassadors because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. You said, oh, that sounds great, but we still have difficult days. We still have struggles while we're here on this earth. There's still pain on this planet. And every time I open up a news app, it seems like somebody else in the world has lost their ever-loving mind. There's gonna be some battles that you lose along the way. Everything's not gonna be perfect in your life. You know what that's called? Life. That doesn't mean that you have bad luck. It means that you're a person. It drives me crazy when people are like, oh, woe is me. I got a flat tire and then I had to pay these bills and then my kid was really mean. And then I went outside and I got a sunburn and then I was so sad. Shut up. Like, that's life. That is life. Every person on the planet has to go through this. Jesus tells us, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. But take heart. Don't lose heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. In other words, there's going to be some battles that you lose along the way, but ultimately you serve a king who already won the war. That's what it is he wants you to know. And there's coming a day. Just to remind you, there is coming a day where the war will be won. Revelation 21, verse 4 through 6. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death or sorrow or crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have all passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said to me, write these down, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to all who thirst. There's gonna be a day. And it's not today. And I don't think it's gonna be tomorrow. And I don't think it's gonna be the next day. But there is coming a day where there will be no more hospitals, no more doctor's offices, no more police cars, no more ambulances, no more cancer clinics, none of that. There's not gonna be any of that stuff. We're not gonna have to worry every time our phone rings in the middle of the night that something terrible has happened. There's not gonna be any more divorce lawyers. There's not gonna be any more court that you have to go to because of something that went sideways in a relationship in your life. He says, I'm wiping away every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. I'm gonna be able to stand up when I'm on the couch. Our couch is like, it's low. And when I stand up off the couch, it's like Rice Krispie cereal going on in my knees. There's gonna be no more of that. Did I tell you this story? A couple months ago, this is so dumb. It does not sound true, but I promise it's true. I went to bed and I had a dream. And in my dream, I played basketball all night, full court. I don't play full court anymore. That's the day gone by. I played full court all night in my dream. This was a dream. And I woke up and both of my knees hurt. That's true. That's a true story. I've told everybody about it. I'm like, this is crazy. How do my knees hurt? My knees are so tired, they get hurt in dreams. No more of that. He is making all things new, including your knees. Some of you are like, I don't care about knees. You will one day. You will. Here's my point. God isn't done with you yet. He's not done. And we have a role to play. So as we get ready to make this movie, you say, when are we making the movie? You said within 2 months. I'll tell you this. Just do the math. It's within the next 2 months. And I'll give you a date, probably. I'll give you an exact move-in date, most likely either the week before or Mother's Day. One of those 2 dates, I'll give you the actual day. I have a buffer, a two-week buffer in mind to make sure that within my two-month window is still safe to say, because very few things are safe to say when you have like a lot of government entities that are involved. I promise you that. But within the next 2 months, we should have made that transition over here to this new building. And you have a role to play. Because how many of you would be honest? I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand if you've got somebody in your life, they're far from God and they need a touch from God. Raise your hand. It's everybody. Some of you are like, that's me. I'll be honest with you. I'm not far from God, but I need a touch from God every day. His mercies are new every morning. I need a touch from God every single day, just like I did April the 11th of 1996. I need a touch from God today on April the 12th of 2026. But you know what I mean when I say that. Some of you, myself included, we have friends, family members, people that we care about who are far from God, and they need a touch from, they need God to intervene in their life. I'm praying that he will, and God's gonna use you to do it. Maybe your invitation, you bringing them with you when we make this move, seems simple to you, but one invitation can change everything. Others of you, you need a touch from God now. And I'm not talking about a physical touch. I'm not talking about a mental touch. I'm not talking about healing in a physical sense. I'm talking about some of you, you are spiritually dead and you need God to make you alive. You need to have your sin forgiven. You need your life to be changed, just like I did years ago. I would be doing you an injustice if I preached a message like this about how God became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond to that. So if you're here today and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you need your sin forgiven, you want to turn to him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's just you doing what God said to do. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He said you would be saved, changed, and forgiven. So if you're ready to say yes to Jesus all over this room with your head bowed and eyes closed, just pray this prayer with me in your heart as I pray it out loud. Say, Lord, the best way I know how, I turn from my sin, I turn to Jesus. I'm asking you to make all things new. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And so today, I'm asking you to save, change, and forgive me the best way I know how. Save me, because I'm turning to you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. With your head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you're here today and you just said yes to Jesus all over this room, what's gonna happen is this. If you said yes to Jesus just now, I'm gonna count to three, and when I do, you're gonna raise your hand high for about 10 seconds, long enough for one of our ushers to come, place a card in your hand, and as soon as you get that card, you're gonna pull your hand right back down. It's as simple as that. I'm not gonna call you out or embarrass you in any way, but if you just said yes to Jesus right where you are, when I say three, if you're in the room, throw that hand up high. If you're watching online, follow the instructions that you'll see right there on the screen. But without any further hesitation, you ready? One, two, three. Come on, all over the room if that's you. See your hands down here in the front. Come on, who else? If you're here today and you just said yes to Jesus, we see you in the back as well. It's great. Now, everybody do me a favor and everybody stand to your feet for me. Let me pray for you and then the band will sing. Dear Lord, I love you. I'm grateful for you. Thank you for every single person within the sound of my voice. Thank you that we can worship you, that we can hear your word, that we can have fun doing it. God, thank you for loving people like us. Help us to go out and make a difference in the world, to make it so that people far from God can experience life in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.